5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Overtime.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Overtime, your weekly source for all things Overwatch. I'm your host, Jacob Hujik, and with me today is Taylor Severn.
Bastion's bird name is like Ganymed? Med? I don't know how to pronounce that name.
I'm glad we finally resolved that issue after like 3 or 4 episodes back. Node Brandon tonight. He is unfortunately working his butt off. But we're here, and we've got a lot of news for you. There was just a butt ton of stuff. So we'll just get into it in a moment.
First, Jeff Kaplan just came in and put his butt down, and then he was like, there's the news. Butt
ton. Oh, I get it. Alrighty. He's not that fat.
I'm immature.
How was your week in Overwatch?
I'm more excited about Heroes right now, so
I can't disagree. I really like what's happening in Heroes right now, but this stuff in Overwatch is pretty cool.
So, like, yeah, that's second best out of the things they announced today. Overwatch is a nice second best.
Out of the 2 or 3 things they announced, Overwatch is second.
It had to compete with things like, we support Diablo 2 still news. So that's exciting.
How about StarCraft 2? It's still a thing news.
Hey, they added something at least.
What, a portrait?
Or announced adding. No, Alarak.
I know, I'm just kidding. Yeah,
come on, Jake.
That'll be fun.
Head in the game.
But as for Overwatch news... first things first, the Blues were busy on the forums. They made lots of posts, and they actually gave out some meaty information. So, first things first is that Jeff Kaplan on the forums revealed that they had been originally planning to do some reworks to the... Or introducing, rather, a replay and more dedicated spectate features for the game. Replay, obviously, so that people can share replays, which would be good for the esports and competitive scene, and the spectate mode, which would, again, be good for esports. Unfortunately, these features were pushed back in the priority queue for changes to server tech to increase the tick time. Season 2 changes, which were some major developments happening on that front. And matchmaking to make it more even. Now, I haven't noticed the server stuff as much, because I feel like that is something very technical and not something that I notice very well. But I do feel like... when the game first launched, I feel like there was some more issues where, like, I would be behind a wall or somewhere else, and I'd get killed, and I'd watch the replay, and they didn't really hit me properly. Which was usually caused by some sort of lag between what was happening on my computer and the enemy's computer. But I've noticed that a lot less, so I'm assuming that's where that came from.
Or maybe just got good, who knows?
Or yeah, well, I also stopped dying, like, totally. So that might have something to do with that.
Yeah.
And as far as matchmaking goes, like, I've always felt the matchmaking in this game was pretty decent. So... I haven't really had any complaints there, but I'm glad that they're working on it still. Can never be perfect, so why not? As for the Season 2 changes that will be happening, there was a bevy of information dropped there.
Released a video!
The first thing that they mentioned was that they're going to be rebuilding the competitive ranking system. There will still be the skill ranking points, but instead of being out of 1 to 100, it will now be out of 5,000.
Yeah, they're stretching it out.
Yeah, because kind of what they were mentioning in the video was that fluctuating that much, like dropping from 52 to 51 or 50 to 48 in a night, felt bad. And people really attributed their skill to that rank. Whereas in reality, like that number is supposed to fluctuate. Like, you're not going to be performing at peak levels every night. Sometimes you're going to have a great series of matches. Like, you're on your game, you're doing really well. And other nights, you know, you're just farting around with your friends or you've had a drink or your mind's just not in the game, but you still play competitive, and you drop some ranks. It's kind of normal. And that
doesn't really have anything to do with why it's 5,000 now.
Well, he mentioned in the video that now that it's 5,000, it's a big dip. Like, it's this bigger dip in numbers.
Okay. Do you want me to say why it's now 5,000?
I know you do.
Okay, I do. and it's essentially, you would get fractional points, and so it's like, here's half a point. It's like, that doesn't make sense. And so now that they've expanded it by this, you don't get a half a point anymore. You'll get a point. And it also means that if you're on, like, the losing side, they can still give you some points that meaningfully do something for you.
Yeah.
Instead of it being, like, a quarter. And it's like, what does a quarter mean?
It means nothing. Yeah, you're right. They did mention that in the video. I feel like dropping, like, a whole number like that out of a scale of 100, like I was saying, from 52 to 51, it kind of feels a little worse than if you dropped, you know, from 3,320 and you drop down to, you know, 3,200. That's like, that feels kind of bad, but like these numbers are kind of getting to the Yu-Gi-Oh levels of big, that like it doesn't feel as bad, I think.
Well, that's why they're stepping away from like your direct number and they're adding a league system,
which I am super cool with. I think that this is, out of all the Blizzard games, this might be the best way of representing your skill and giving you something to grind for in competitive.
Well, a lot of games use this sort of system because it works.
Yeah, and I know, I'm assuming Overwatch, they want to try something different and new because that's the type of people they are. They would just want to prove that they're better than everyone else. But sometimes they're just like sticking to what's tried and true works. And in this case, I think it's awesome because with the leagues now, which for those of you that don't know, they're now introducing very similar to how StarCraft works, where it's bronze, silver, gold, and then they haven't revealed what the other ranks are, but I believe they said there were going to be 7 or 8 of them.
Yeah, but this is something similar to that, like Diamond, Grandmaster.
Platinum, yeah, all that regular BS.
Wood tier.
There should be a wood tier. It's been a joke for so long.
It's got our home-brewed wood tier men. Me and Jacob.
Well, I'd have to place first. Maybe that's what wood tier is. You're still hacking through the woods trying to get to a rank.
You haven't seen me play that enough then.
Oh god.
I'll show you wood tier.
Oh boy. But yes, the interesting thing about the leagues, which is unlike what StarCraft does, is that once you've advanced, once you've advanced to a tier, let's say you started off in silver and you got to gold after a couple nights. Even if you lose every game after that, for that season, you will be gold. You have achieved the rank of gold. That can't be taken away from you during that season.
Hey, gold, pony boy.
Your skill ranking will go up and down, however. But I think this system is perfect because I play a lot of heroes. And right now I'm trying to grind and get better and better than that. I moved up from silver to gold and I'm trying to get to platinum now. But it's kind of stressful because in that system, if you want the experience of competitive, which is different from Quick Match, as me and Taylor found out last night, it's stressful to play when you're not feeling up to your best, but you still want to have that kind of environment, or that competitive environment. So with this system, if you got to gold, you'll stay there no matter how badly you do. Even if it's just like, oh, I lost a couple matches, and you won't be demoted to silver over that, which gives you something to kind of strive for some of the couple of months that the season goes on. But you don't have to like be afraid of it when you're not feeling your best. Now, your skill points is a more true representation of your actual skill in the game. It's very closely linked to your MMR, as far as I understand. So people who are like just super competitive and want to see their actual skill in the game increase, they can focus on that skill ranking points. Whereas people who just kind of want something to grind for, to strive for, can focus more on their leagues. And I think that's an awesome, awesome system. It kind of works for everyone.
It should be noted that at the highest level, like top 5%, 100 people, there will be skill degradation. So yes. They will be able to drop out of that, and so they have to play
at the top rank.
Yeah, and so that I feel most people feel like they to achieve the top rank, you should do that. So.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Like at that point, like you are the best players at the game. You're probably going to be very hyper competitive. I feel like that's just fair, and it's nice to have like who are the best like 100 or so characters or not characters, players at a given moment.
They're people, Jake.
No, they're not. I refuse to believe that these people exist in anything but a virtual form. Just like actors. But yeah, I think this system is just like, this is perfect for me. Again, I believe this is a system similar to what they use in League of Legends.
It's almost like, why didn't you do this from the start? Come on.
This isn't a system that they've used in other Blizzard games, which is what I'm most familiar with in a competitive setting. So I'm excited about this. Like, this actually makes me want to go out and play competitive more.
Yes, and like I've even like read some people from the other Blizzard games. It's like, hey, could we get some of these nice things?
That might have been me, because I want this in Heroes in a bad way. Like, again, I think this is perfect. This would be awesome. It would give me something, again, to grind for, but not having to feel kind of, should I play tonight? I don't know. I had a drink or two.
But also, it's like, I think Overwatch has shorter seasons than those other games. I can't speak to this.
I'm not going to say anything because I don't actually know.
Moving on.
Moving on swiftly. Not moving on swiftly. One thing I want to mention about that, if you guys out there listening have another take on this, if you actually see, no, this is actually kind of bad because of, I would actually be really super interested to hear. I want to hear if someone's like, no, I don't actually like this change at all. I have a feeling I know what the complaints are going to be, but I would actually be interested to read that. On to more news.
More about the Season 2 changes.
So there is no more sudden death in competitive.
Woo!
Yes, people have been kind of complaining about the coin flippy system. They've tried to make it as balanced as possible, but whether it is or it isn't balanced, people feel it's unbalanced.
And just because they up your damage to like 300% and stop dropping bombs everywhere, sudden death's awful.
Oh, man, I miss Melee. Melee was fun. Side note. I went to DreamHack Montreal this weekend. It was super, super fun. And they were playing Smash Bros. Smash Bros. Melee there. There was no Brawl or anything. It was just Smash Bros. On a big screen. Same with StarCraft. That was amazing. I want more events to happen in Canada. Preferably closer to where I live.
I felt like I probably should have asked you about that at the beginning of the show.
It happened. I went. It was fun. Scarlett was playing in StarCraft. She's a Canadian player. The crowd went absolutely nuts for her. It was amazing. Guys, if you can go to a live esports event, especially if you haven't been to many sporting events in your life, if you like video games, which I'm assuming you do if you're listening to this, go to an esports tournament. Just the atmosphere of the crowd feels so good when you're just cheering for someone to win, and like when they're doing bad you're like, oh no, like just come on, you can do it, and then when they're doing great you feel great. Ah, it was wonderful. But
it's like a real sport.
It's a real but moving back into the Season 2 changes, there will be no sudden death. Obviously hold the point maps will be as they are. It's a best of 5. But the assault, payload, and hybrid maps will now use the time back bank system exclusively. Now I know they have been kind of tweaking how that works. Like if you cap it within overtime, then you used to get some extra time and all that stuff. They're trying to make it more fair. So that has been kind of reworked. If you capture the point in overtime, you'll get about 30 seconds to capture the next point, which isn't a lot of time, but it's enough to try and make something happen, because you did do it in overtime. Like, you probably should have lost. But also, any time or any advantages...
Comeback king.
Yeah. Any time advantages that you get, your opponents will also get when it comes to be their turn. So it is very fair because it is now all about the time it takes you to complete the objectives, which I think is probably the best way of doing this. It's the same with there's what I said about their skill ranking system. They tried to do something that was all their own, and it just didn't work out as well as the tried and true methods. So they went back.
Well, I think this kind of game doesn't really have a competitive mode, so they're kind of testing the waters, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of new ground.
You're saying that like this game wasn't originally intended to be super competitive, or
I'm saying games of this genre don't usually have a competitive mode.
I mean, there are there are similar ones. I mean, like TF2 is the most recent.
TF2 didn't have competitive mode until Overwatch announced theirs, and I don't think it's like it came out roughly when Overwatch's came out.
Yes, you are right. It was more like self-run tournaments that had kind of established these rules, and there was other games. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on which ones they are, but there were other games who, again, didn't have it in the game, but people had kind of coalesced about a certain set of rules for how these game modes were scored, and they usually revolved the kind of time bank system. People had been suggesting it to Overwatch. They wanted to try something different, and they went back to the time bank thing, which is that's perfectly fine. Like, if it works, it works. They tried something, it didn't work out, so okay, we have this system, which works perfectly.
Well, we'll see how well it works.
Yeah, that is true. But
And any feedback you give,
they will listen.
Will listen.
Yes, they have been. It might sometimes seem like they're slow to respond, but they have been listening to the community a lot. And not just in Overwatch, just as a company, I feel like they've been listening to the community a lot this last year.
In the video that Jeff Kaplan was in, he even mentioned, is like, we did this based off this feedback you gave us. Like, we tweaked it exactly to, like, based on the feedback. So, give more feedback.
Yeah, it's super cool. I love it when a company actually listens to their fans. I mean, you have to kind of balance out what you think and you can see coming into the future of your game as the people developing it. Because sometimes the crowd is short-sighted, and they just scream what they think is right when it's not empirically right. But other times, that's what matters. So I feel like they're doing a pretty good job of balancing those two kind of concerns, which is good to see. But I think that pretty much covers it for the Season 2 changes.
And we got a big event coming up in the next few days, and today we were able to get a preview just in time for the podcast. Ooh. I like to think they did it just for us.
Well, I'm super friendly with Mr. Blizzard, the founder of Blizzard.
And James Common, the guy who runs Gamescom.
Yeah.
and we worked, all three of them worked together to set it up that we would be able to talk on the preview. Blizzard would still get the juicy stuff. We'd be able to digest it, and then the next week we'll be able to talk about it in a more levied head that's not just full hype.
Yeah,
but right now,
yeah.
We're full hype.
Full hype.
Because
sorry, continue.
We have a new Overwatch map to be excited about.
Our first new map. We got our first new character not too long ago, and now it's the first map. It's exciting.
It's in Germany. I can't pronounce that name. Jacob, tell me how it's pronounced.
I believe it would be pronounced Echenwald.
Oh my god. Okay, I'll call it the Black Forest. Because that's where it is. It's a castle in the Black Forest where Bastion comes from, where he woke up, found a bird, started killing everyone. Maybe not in that order. And it's...
The bird comes pretty early.
A wonderful video... Like, just going around the area and showing, like, this town with clocks in it because it's in Germany and it's, like, stop playing on stereotypes. And
that is what this game is all about, Taylor.
And in broken down robots, stop playing on stereotypes. In a broken down town with a castle in the center of it, and you storm the castle and you go inside, and like it kind of reminds me of it looks like it leads all up to the, like this room with a throne and a dead Reinhardt there. Imagine it's King Reinhardt.
Yes.
And like just looking at that, it reminded me of the Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, in Moria.
The music.
When they're in that world.
Yeah, when they got inside the castle, yeah, I kind of got those themes too. The music was very like, you know, kind of, I don't want to say medieval, but it was very like trumpety and like epic sounding. And it was a good trailer. Like I'm excited about this map. It seems very Overwatch. It fits right in with the map colors, and also it's reminiscent of the maps in Overwatch that I appreciate and think of most when I think Overwatch, which would be Hanamura, and Hanamura. It reminds me a lot of Hanamura, just because it's very colorful. At least the outside of the castle is very bright and colorful. It's during the daytime.
I think it also has a very different palette from other matches because of the forest.
Yes,
and
there's
like
a lot
of nice deep greens.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. It was the green with the really bright blue sky and the castle in the distance. So it was just like this really nice combination of you know, like that almost kind of beigey wood of the buildings. You've got the stone gray of the castle, and you've got the green and the blue. Oh, it was just
and like the rusty robots.
Yeah. To kind of just like this weird like medieval town, and then also there's robots in it.
You guys need to check out that trailer, because
yeah.
I don't know if it was just like how well the trailer was made. This seems like it's the most beautiful map.
I'm really excited for it. I will try and link it in the show notes. I don't actually have it in there. Taylor, if you could stealthily sneak that in, that would be perfect. But yeah, there was a couple things I want to mention about that. And first of is the fact that you're actually sieging the castle. I kind of like that. You're escorting a big ram up to the castle gates and then breaking them in. Like,
that's pretty beautiful.
It's so, like, I don't know if cliche is the right word, but it's like, of course you're going to ram down the castle gates.
That's what you want.
Exactly. So, like, yeah, I was super happy with that. It's just like, this hover boat thing, futuristic Overwatch whatever, that has a ram on it for whatever reason. Like, all it needs is, like, a goat head or something.
Well, it's probably, like, left over from the battle, and, like, Torbjorn, like, hit his hammer on it a few times and repaired it, and now it's like, go, go, go.
Yes, I can see it. But, it looks super fun. Also, the Bastion robots. I'm just going to keep referring to them as Bastion robots, because I don't know what exactly type of model Bastion is, but it's the same type of model. And they're all overgrown with weeds and stuff. They seem to be the only thing in the town that has been overgrown. Whatever metal they used in those Bastion robots was very susceptible to ivy.
They were thinking of, like, being green.
Oh, okay, I get, yeah. They're all made out of, like, this polymer, plastic.
Usable materials,
yeah,
that biodegrade.
Omnicore, like, they were just super about the environment.
If nothing else, they cared about the environment.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they built the robots to destroy all the humans, so that, you know, Earth can be green again.
That's what the Omnicrisis was about.
Yeah, I see it. I see this now. And then the Omnics, you know, bought a Game Boy and got sucked into commercialism, and here we are now. Anyways. Eckenwald, yeah, I'm excited. I would love if someone could correct and tell me exactly how to say that. I'm not German, unfortunately. I'm close, but I'm not German.
I just avoided the entire thing.
Yeah, probably for the best. But you also touched on another thing, and it shows that Bastion is almost assuredly from the Black Forest region of Germany, is where he was powered down. Oh, yeah?
That is confirmed.
Which is fun. It just gives him a little bit more of a history, like, where was he? I was always imagining him to kind of be in, like, somewhere in Asia, like, maybe, like, Mongolia. I know that's a lot of fields, and he was found in a forest, but whatever. I just assume somewhere, for whatever reason, he was in Asia, so... It's nice
that,
to kind
that's
of
a weird assumption.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know where that came from at all, but.
But we'll be learning more about Bastion's, like, where he comes from and such, because we're getting the new Bastion short this Thursday, August 18th.
Yes, we are recording this on a Tuesday. Most of you will probably be listening to it on a Wednesday, if my metrics are correct. But yeah, it's coming out the day after. So that'll be super hype. There was a very brief teaser on Twitter. Blizzard posted, which was
Some bird, I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, whatever bird. I get the distinct feeling that the bird's name starts with a B or something. That's just the feeling I'm getting, just like the
is Bastion? Is Bastion the bird?
But yeah, it looks like it'll be super cute. I think it'll be Disney levels, or rather Pixar levels of just, like, adorableness.
I think it'll be Disney levels of horrible war sadness at the beginning, and then it's the bird, and then something like the bird dies at the end, and you realize the war never truly ends.
Just
the end.
They're just getting ready to whack you with a sad bat. I still have uncomfortable feelings about Up. Just my girlfriend's like, oh, you should watch this.
I was gonna specifically mention Up. Up is horrible.
Yeah,
it's because, like, it hurts me emotionally.
Oh, this is cute. Oh my god, my feelings. Yeah, that was not. I to this day, that's when I coined the phrase "got hit by the sad bat," and I still use it because of that movie. So yeah, I'm excited to see it. I think it'll be good. I've liked all the animations so far. Some of them have been not quite as good as the other ones, but they've all been enjoyable. So I want to see this one. I'm excited.
What ones would you say are the better ones? Which ones would you say are the lesser ones?
I really liked the first one, the fight in the museum, just because it was like your introduction to Overwatch, and it was very, like, flashy, and the it just really introduced you to it. And then I really liked Alive. The Brothers one was a little too on the nose for me. What was the other one? Was there another one?
Hero and Recall.
Ah, yes. Recall I didn't really enjoy. I was just like, okay, whatever. We've seen both of these characters already. And then, sorry. What was the other one?
Soldier 76.
Soldier 76 was, it was different. It was more, like, violent than I was expecting.
It was more about Sombra. It's weird.
So we think, yeah. Like, I don't know. It was just, like, it was a lot more action-y than the other ones, but it was, I don't know, like, in Tracers and Widowmakers, like, that was a lot of action, but it really showed off these characters' specific skills and the abilities, whereas with Soldiers, like, he is what he is. He's a guy with a gun. Like, there are how many movies about that? How many different pieces of media about that? So it wasn't super exciting.
Well, we're all soldiers now, even that little girl, so.
That's true. Yeah. Everyone he comes in contact to. That's why he says it, because it's like a virus.
That's why I became bitter. He's a bitter old man, because he has the Midas touch, but instead of gold, it's soldiers.
I just see him, like, on a hill, like, collapsing on his knees, like, it's raining, like, we're all soldiers now! Like, everyone around
and
him.
And, like, that's why he was so disgruntled after he saved her, because he touched her, and now she's a soldier, and he's like, oh, God, I ruined her life.
I know we're joking about this, but that's, like, it's kind of close to the truth. Like, wherever he goes, conflict is there, so it's almost like he's making...
I'd argue he goes to where the conflict is.
Yeah, but as a result, he's there, and it kind of breeds... It's not because of him, but he's also there. So, anyways. Anywho.
And just because we're speaking of the lore, we're going to just go on a rant, there's a problem with Reaper in that you have an ineffective villain if every time he shows up, he just gets curb stomped, and it's like, Reaper's becoming bad. And it's like, could you please not do that to Reaper?
Yeah, right? Like, he gets teabagged, and then he floats away as a gaseous cloud cackling, and then he's back for next week's episode. Yeah, it's kind of... I hope Sombra is a little bit more menacing, because, yeah, Reaper's kind of just become the edgelord joke. Widowmaker's still cool, but she doesn't seem like the mastermindy type.
Widowmaker got to kill a guy, at least.
Yeah, Widowmaker's pretty badass, like, I'm not gonna lie, but she...
Like, Reaper just needs a thing where he just drops it into a bunch of people, alts, and then that's his thing. I would actually hate that, but still. That's what
yeah,
he needs.
I feel like Reaper has to kind of be made into, like, the dangerous weapon bad guy, like, you just unleash him. Because, like, and it's kind of sad, because he was a commander of Overwatch, like, he's obviously very, like, strategic, he can lead a group, and, like, he's smart, but he's kind of just devolved into this, like, okay, let's go shoot people with my shotguns, it's gonna be good.
You know what he could do?
Shoot people with
they
shotguns?
They could have him kill Tracer.
Han Solo, no!
And I feel that would make a lot of people hate Reaper.
It would make some people, particularly some British people, very happy with Reaper. But yeah.
Tracer's, everyone loves Tracer. No one dislikes Tracer.
I feel like she's even won over the people who were offended by her accent at this point.
Cheers, love. In minor Overwatch news, Zarya is going to be the next Overwatch character to be in Heroes of the Storm.
Minor,
if you don't follow that.
Minor,
Heroes of the
this made my day. I was like, what? So Zarya is one of my favorite characters in Overwatch, and Heroes of the Storm is one of my favorite games. And now, like friggin' Reese's Pieces, all the peanut butter and chocolates, you know, kind of coming together, and then the ones encasing the... I don't know where this metaphor was going. But
Heroes
like
of the Storm, it brings all of the Blizzard franchises together into a big melding pot. They released Tracer earlier, and Zarya is up next for Overwatch.
Yeah, now the interesting thing is, for those of you who have not played Heroes... Tracer in Heroes plays exactly the same, almost, as she does in Overwatch.
She just locks onto a target, and then she just hit that target no matter where she goes.
Like, all her abilities are basically the same. She has a melee, she has her pulse bomb, she has to shoot her gun and reload it, which is very different because Heroes is a Dota-style game. It's top-down
MOBA.
View, MOBA, whichever. It's not the MOBA, it's a Heroes Brawler!
Is that an actual line from something?
It's one of the Vikings say it if you click on them enough. Don't ask me why I know that.
Because you play the Vikings, that's why you know that.
Okay, that is exactly why I know that. It's also in a podcast that I like. Into the Nexus, go check them out. Anyways. Zarya, I'm super happy. Tracer, they kind of just ported her over from Overwatch. They obviously made some changes where they had to, but her core abilities are very similar to what they are. Where with
and
Zarya...
And they did some very different things for Heroes for her to work. But anyways, Zarya.
Zarya, I believe they said that they're going to be changing her up slightly.
Well, they've released a video showing...
Oh no, I haven't watched it. Oh, I skipped all the Heroes news today just so I can get Overwatch done.
She, like, a lot of her abilities, like, essentially one-to-one are kinda in Heroes. She has her auto attack is, like, the laser beam is, like, and then she has the launches grenades.
Mm-hmm.
She has the shield for herself and then the shield for an ally. That's two separate abilities. And then she has two ultimates.
Ah, which is
one
different
is
from Tracer.
Yeah. One is her Overwatch ultimate
mm-hmm.
that sucks people together. The other ultimate is pushes people away.
I kind of saw that coming. Now, I will say, just a brief Heroes discussion here. I will say that Heroes has a lot of characters already where their ultimate is displacing people away from a center. So I'm kind of upset about that, but whatever. I'll see it in action at some point.
This one is more of a constant pushing you away.
Oh, so...
You place it on the ground, and it will constantly push people away.
Oh, I like that. So it's kind
like
of
like... how it constantly pulls people in, it's constantly pushing them away.
Somewhat similar to a Brightwing's ultimate?
Yeah, except ranged. Not as an area, and a bit more...
I can
dig
it.
The pulses come out faster.
I can dig it.
But
getting away from Heroes time.
Yeah, I will say, I think her kit works better in that sort of game setting than it does in Overwatch.
Yeah, I feel like when I first started playing Zarya and started getting the hang of her abilities, I did wish often, like, I wish I was kind of like from a third-person perspective so I can see which of my allies needed help.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see her in Heroes because I do think that those abilities were kind of taken from a third-person game. They kind of took that idea and tried to put it into a first-person game. And they did it well. Like, it worked perfectly fine, but you always... Coming from a third-person, top-down view game, I do miss it sometimes. Just be like, oh, that person needs help. Click.
Well, like, when Overwatch, like, was first coming out, like, the way I would describe it is they took characters from a MOBA game and put them into a TF2 game.
You're not wrong there. That is sometimes what it feels like.
And like, it works and it's fun. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
they did it.
They sure did.
Nailed it. And so that's the preview of what we got from Gamescom. And yeah. They'll probably go into more details and discuss things that they showed here.
And reveal more, I'm sure.
Well, we don't know how much they'll reveal. Maybe they'll show off Sombra and 5 other heroes and 10 new maps and Overwatch 2. We don't know. We're only speculating.
All of this is possible.
Sombra is actually Jeff Kaplan. That's his in-game name. And it's just a big, like, confusing... Like, we were just misinformed.
Kaplan is actually German for ghost. Not ghost, shadow. I keep thinking it's Sombra as ghost.
God damn it.
I don't know, audience, I don't know if I told you this, but I had made a joke earlier to Taylor because there was a town named Sombra in Ontario. And I kept thinking it was ghost, so I told him it must be a real ghost town. And he didn't respond to me because, A, it's a terrible pun, and B, it didn't make any sense because Sombra does not mean ghost. So I didn't realize this until like 3 days later when we did the podcast. I felt so ashamed.
I actually remember you saying ghost town, and I'm just kind of like, okay. I'll accept that. I'll allow that.
It must be a real shadow town, eh? That's a saying, right? Anyways.
It's Shadow Realm. I don't know.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Or some stuff. That is not the only that is not the only Blizzard news. That is everything that came out of Gamescom. But outside of Gamescom, Blizzard also detailed some changes to Zenyatta, Mercy, and Mei. All three of the characters will be receiving some sort of changes. The news comes from Blizzard posts in the forums again.
Them blue posts.
You gotta follow them. So Zenyatta, they feel like is performing just a little too well. They like where he is, and they're glad that he's getting more use, but he might just be slightly too strong. So I believe what they want to do is power down his Discord orb. We aren't sure what exactly form this will take yet. You know, they might decrease the amount of...
It's now slow and you can shoot it out of the air. Who knows?
Who knows? They could. I mean, they changed D.Va's ability fairly substantially. So
Orb of Discord is now a hammer and he just hits you with a hammer. It's a melee attack.
Orb of Discord is now a hacking minigame. Zenyatta is actually Sombra. You have to hack your yourself into the game and then you debuff the enemy and then you get wall hacks and you win.
It debuffs the enemy and crashes their client, and they can't play anymore.
Yes. I'm into it.
And that's on, like, a 5-second cooldown. Pretty OP, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it plays out after a couple weeks.
After climbing the ladder with Zenyatta for a little bit, we'll see.
So that is more or less what they detail on Zenyatta, is that they're just going to be touching his orbs. I know. How could they? The poor sweet robot. But
well, I mean, all he has is his orbs.
Now, the other changes that were outlined was Mercy. Mercy, after having her ultimate kind of decreased and with the rise of Zenyatta and also the just seeming ever-prevalence of Lucio, is kind of one of the lesser-used heroes, kind of across the board as far as I can tell. In competitive, she's not super used, and just in regular games, people are either trying out Ana or playing Lucio and Zenyatta.
Or seeing Symmetra and being like, we got a support.
So, yeah, that's... We'll see what happens with that. But with Mercy, they don't... Because her ult is so powerful, they don't want to just kind of buff that and change that or change some healing numbers. I think they want her to have some more utility. Whatever this means, they want something that where she can affect the battle, but not necessarily in combat. She already has a movement ability, but they might buff it. This is just me reading into what they've said, but they might buff her movement ability. They might give her a new ability.
She uses the movement ability to jump to someone else can go behind her to also move, and then you become a literal heel train.
She makes a bridge behind her that people can walk on.
And it kind of shoots you forward to her.
Mm-hmm. It's like a jump pad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, confirmed. But there are other utility kind of things that they can let her do. I don't know what form exactly they would take. It could be some sort of speed boost similar to Lucio, but I think not, just because it would be too similar to him. I'm curious to see what they'll do for her. But like they said, this utility change won't come anytime soon. This is something they're going to have to deliberate about and implement. In the near future, they said that they were going to do something more similar to a buff to some stat, but they haven't said exactly what.
I hope it's just base movement speed and she just runs like Speedy Gonzalez.
Well, if they learn from
it's Zenyatta, actually slower to jump to someone.
it's the only way you actually have any semblance of control with her.
Yeah.
It's like Sonic and Brawl. Like, you're just walking off the map otherwise. You have to jump to people.
Blizzard seems to have problems balancing supports in their games.
Yeah, I just feel like because the ability to heal is so strong. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole point of these games is to, like,
kill
the other person, and here's one character who... my power is the exact opposite of that. So I feel like it is just inherently hard to balance. I think they can do it. I feel like they're on the cusp in many of their games of like, this is pretty close to perfect. So I'm not terribly upset with them. But yeah, one small move and healers are either dominate a meta, or rather a certain healer dominates a meta, or they're completely unused.
Another thing that, like, in Blizzard games, That's unfortunate, and I'm mostly coming from a League of Legends background, is that support is synonymous with healer. And
In almost all Blizzard games.
I think that's a misstep. Well, that's an unfortunate misstep, but at this point, I don't think they can fix that.
Yeah, I think they've kind of fostered a community where support is healing. Like, that's just...
Well, it's not
it
even like the community. It's like they've released the games. They can't change, like, that would be too big of a change to, like, fix, so
yeah.
to say.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And I just feel like they're the communities around them, like, that's, they just think that's what support is. Like, you heal the guy. I'm a priest. I heal my teammates. I'm Uther. I heal my teammates.
People's opinions will change in time. It doesn't matter what people's opinions are.
Yes, but I mean, I do feel that there would be some people in the community who would be... Well, some would be upset because it's the internet, but some would be disappointed. I'm actually one of those people. Like, I really like just healing people. That's just something core about my personality. Like, I want to help people. And granted, yes, I know someone like Medivh. Medivh is very, very cool. Like, he doesn't directly heal in Heroes, but he has so many utility things that can help his teammates either get the kill or escape from danger, which is super cool. But I just kind of like that, like, okay, you're healthier now. Enjoy that.
Well, I didn't mean, like, remove healers from the game. I'm saying...
Make them rarer.
Support meaning more than just healing someone.
I can get behind that.
And in Heroes and Overwatch, essentially, I don't think they have the systems in place to accomplish that.
Yeah, you're right. The games were kind of based around this deal damage while someone tries to heal through that damage. But I feel like hopefully they have kind of the core healers. They can try something more experimental with the next couple characters, which will be fun.
Like shooting you to heal you.
it's different.
But the sports weren't the only people to get changes, right, Jacob?
Yes, sorry. We kind of went on a tangent there, but May is also outlined to get some changes, and hers are a little bit more concrete than Mercy's. They are probably going to be buffing her ult. Right now, it is somewhat similar to other characters such as Reinhardt, where it disables a group of people, but it feels slightly weaker. I know playing against it is frustrating, and May herself can be frustrating to play against, which is kind of why I'm surprised that they're buffing her. Now, with many of the defensive characters, it's tough to buff them, not because you don't know how to make them better, but it's about making them better when the community already feels it's frustrating to play against them. Mei is annoying. She freezes you in place and then gets a headshot. That feels bad. But her stats, her win rates and her usage is showing that she is actually one of the weaker characters. So buffing her, some people who Mei not recognize that may be like, oh, like, why would you buff her? Like, I hate playing against her. She's so cheap. But her stats aren't actually showing that. She's actually one of the weaker characters. And her ultimate, while it feels bad to kind of sit there frozen, where her and her team can take you out at her leisure, it could actually use some buffing. And one of the ways they're doing that is they're thinking of letting it get through certain shields. Namely, Reinhardt's shield can currently block some of her ultimate. Some of the other characters have a shield, I believe. Who am I thinking of? Winston. Winston also has a barrier. So it's going to be able to pierce those, they're thinking, in internal testing. And they are going to be making the radius of the effect slightly bigger. There might be more changes to Mei, but I think they're currently just thinking of doing that and seeing how that plays out.
Crowd control's annoying, and that's Mei's big problem, is that she's very focused on crowd control, and crowd control's very strong and annoying. So it'll definitely be interesting to see how they balance that, because she's probably the biggest crowd control person in the game.
Yeah, definitely one of the most evident. Like, it's very apparent when she's crowd controlling someone, because she's making them to a popsicle.
And about her win rates being low and usage rates, I think, jokingly, because everyone hates her, no one wants to be her, so that's why her usage is low. And the reason why she loses a lot is because when the enemy sees her, she just, like, kill her. And we see it like, rallies the enemy team together to stop Mei. And then, yeah, it's maybe if Blizzard can harness that rallying and, like, make Mei a bit, like, tankier, give her frost armor.
Yep, make her into a tank. She just taunts her enemies, and they all focus her, and then she can withstand it. Well, she kind of can. She makes herself... She does have...
Ice block.
Ice block, basically. And, guys, come at me, and nope, I'm a popsicle, you can't do nothing.
They need to give her just more mage spells, just like Frost Nova. Just like, you can't move.
She just pulls out her friggin' hair pin, which is totally Jaina's staff, and just, like, becomes Jaina. And then all the Blizzard's worlds actually are revealed to all take place in our universe.
Well, I mean, like, Torbjorn's already a dwarf. Like,
straight up.
They weren't hiding that character design. They were like, which stereotypical person is or nation is most like a dwarf?
Swedes are really tall is the thing,
though. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
They tripped up their stereotypes there, I don't know.
Alrighty, getting away from all that. I am interested to see what they do with Mei and all the character changes. One thing I wanted to mention, sorry, was I saw a small comic on Reddit where it's a shadowy figure saying, do you know what people say when they're in trouble? And it's a group of scared Overwatch people hiding behind the shadow saying, mercy! And then it's the last panel is Mei looking very, very intense and scary. And she says, no, it's May Day. And I thought that was hilarious. Anyways, enough of slowing the show down with pointless recollections of things from a visual medium.
Which is what you come here for.
Really, bad jokes, long tangents, and a little bit of Overwatch.
Like, you're here to hear us talk about the news.
Yes, I agree with all these changes. I'm excited to see how they pan out. And that's about that. We are going more or less on time, so I believe we'll cut the hero discussion for this week, and we will be discussing Junkrat on our next episode. I think this was a fairly beefy episode without him, because I actually have a lot to say on Junkrat, and I don't want to kind of squeeze it in when I have to get going. But I think that was pretty fun. So
looking forward to more Gamescom.
Yeah, I want to see what else there. I'm sure they'll have a couple more surprises, and I'm sure Sombra will be one of them. Well, that pretty much wraps us up for today's episode. If you like what you heard here today, please consider subscribing or giving us a rating on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this. It greatly helps the show out, especially those 5-star reviews. You can follow the show at OW Overtime on Twitter, and you can send emails to owovertime@gmail.com. That's owovertime@gmail.com. Please send any comments or questions, opinions on what we discussed on the show. We would love to hear from you guys. We do another show called Press A to Podcast, where we review a different video game every episode. You can follow that show on Twitter and YouTube at Press A to Podcast. Now, I think that pretty much does it for us. So I will say, for me and Taylor, and sadly Brandon, who can't be with us, that's all the time we have left for Overtime. See you next week.
Guys,
I'm saying it this time. Alright, we're back to recording, so I'll say.
Oh, I thought that was the recording, and then, like, I'll freak out and be part of the outro.
I'll have to edit this all together into just a beautiful storm. But yes.